where you find yourself today in your walk with the Lord. But I know when Jesus came upon a crowd one day, he had them sit down on the side of a hill and he began teaching because the crowd was seeking after him and wanted to know, what do you have for me today, Jesus? I want to hear from you. And we can turn to Matthew chapter 5 and we see what took place after that. Chapters 5 through 7 is what we call the Sermon on the Mount. In that sermon, Jesus begins by talking about what it means to be blessed. And as you read those verses that we call the Beatitudes, we look at that and we go, huh? That's what it means to be blessed? That's not what I might think he would have said. But then he goes into 17 short messages about 17 different things. He talks about what it means to reconcile in a relationship. He talks about divorce. He talks about marriage. He talks about prayer. He talks about giving. Just boom, boom, boom. If you just sat and read that and took the time to do that and read it out loud, that whole message would probably take about 15 minutes maybe, just to read through it and process what he said. But in there were 17 different messages that he was speaking to that crowd that day. Well, today I'm not going to give you 17 different messages. I'm just going to give you four. Okay, so I don't know where you are, what you need to hear from God today. But this message that God's given me is four messages. And it may be because, you know, being the associate pastor, you don't get to talk very much. You know, you just do your stuff and go on, and Mike gets to do the teaching. So today I'm catching up. These are four messages that I would have done in the past 7 or 8 months that now I'm getting the chance to do. Not really. But I think these four messages, excuse me, within one, is going to hit you where you are, at least one of them. So you listen very well, listen loudly to what God has to say to you today. And take from this time that we have together, next 30 minutes or so, and be able to say, I heard from God today. Join me in prayer. God, we thank you for the opportunity to be here today together to listen to you. And God, I pray that most of all today that each of us who are under the sound of my voice, God, that they hear from you, that they don't hear from Randy, that they hear from you. I just pray that your Spirit work in the lives of all of us today as we listen to your word, as we're challenged, as we're convicted, as we see opportunity to obey. God, just speak to us very clearly. We thank you for what you're going to do today here in this place. In your name we pray. Amen. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Acts chapter 2. And in Acts chapter 2, we see Luke's writing here of what the church looks like. When the church originally began in the first century, this is a picture of what it was supposed to look like. You know, and as we read this, you may say, well, that's not exactly what it looks like now. Maybe a little different. And it probably is a little different. And in some ways, maybe a lot different. But listen and follow along in these verses as we look and see what the church should look like. They were starting with verse 42, reading through 47. It says, they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone kept feeling a sense of awe, and many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. And all those who had believed were together and had all things in common. And they began selling their property and possessions and were sharing with them all, as anyone might have need. day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. You know, what we see there, four teaching points, if you will, four things that were taking place in this new church, this new group of believers who were coming together with the name of church. There was teaching taking place. God's word was being taught. There was sharing bread together, sharing meals together. There was fellowship. The word, the original Greek word there is koinonia. They were connected with their spirit. It wouldn't mean they were just having a party, which is what we use that word a lot with fellowship. We're just getting together, but they were connected. They were doing life together. And then that last point is prayer. You know, when we teach our discovery class, our class for new members here at the Heights, there's a small part in that that I have to talk about life groups. That's one of my responsibilities here at the Heights Fellowship, is to lead our small group ministry, our life groups. And that passage is our focus for those small groups, because that's what the church should look like. That God's word should be being taught and studied. That prayer should be taking place. That fellowship, that connection between believers should be happening. And many times that happens over food, with a meal. Very simple. We've made church very not simple in many ways. But that's what church should look like. Here at the Heights Fellowship, we call that our life groups. We have 147 family units who call this their church home, who are members here at the Heights. And about 100 of those family units are connected, at least with their name associated with a life group. We would like to see those other 40 plus families be a part of that. Many of you sitting out here, just looking at your faces, not knowing all your names, many of you may just be seeking a church. What we believe here at the Heights Fellowship is that church actually happens in this small group setting. We want to see all of the people who connected to the Heights Fellowship to be a part of that. Because you become connected. You're not going to stay in any fellowship of believers that we call a church unless you feel connected. You may love the preacher. You may love the music. But you're not going to hang around unless you create relationship. So that becomes very important. And what you see happening as we read those passages, those verses, is that ministry is being done. People are meeting the needs of other people within that group. You know, and that's what we say in our discovery class. That's really where ministry takes place, is at that group. We can't do ministry on a moment-by-moment, day-by-day basis in a large group setting one day a week. It just can't happen. That's not practical. It's not realistic. But in the lives of that smaller setting where people can gain trust, where relationships can grow, then people can minister to each other. You can help meet needs of each other. You know, as I was preparing for today's message, I just thought about the life group that I've been a part of for the last 3 years and thought about all the very personal, intimate things that we've dealt with each other within that life group. You know, we've had the death of parents within our life group. You know, we've had to deal with children who have gone a wayward direction. You know, we've had to deal with sickness. We've had to deal with loss of jobs. But we come together on that. We've lifted each other up in prayer in that. We've supported each other in those times of doing life. Because see, that's real for all of us. You know, this is a 45-minute time, an hour and a half time on a Sunday morning that we come together to celebrate what God's doing the rest of the week. And the way that happens here at the Heights is through those life groups. And it should happen that way. That's where it can be very real. And so I want us to see that model of, yes, we want to be big. We want lots of people to come to the Heights Fellowship and be a part of what's going on here, because God's doing a lot of things. But at the same time we grow big, we need to grow small, because that's really where relationship happens. Both have to happen simultaneously. And that becomes very important for us to reach out. Because like I said, if you don't feel connected, then you won't stay here. You've got to have that connection. And that's wherever you go. If you're visiting today, back at your home church, same thing. You've got to feel connected. You've got to feel part of a group. Our life group is our model for making that happen. We also have men's ministry. We also have women's ministries that are smaller group settings for you to be a part of. Lots of opportunity for you to experience this model that is so clearly stated with those different elements of it that take place. Because those things happen within our life groups. We look at God's Word. We study God's Word. We enjoy each other's company through fellowship and the connecting through the Spirit that we have in common. We share food together regularly. And we pray. For some of you, that may be your challenge today. You know, I've been thinking about that. I've been going to the Heights for a long time. I just haven't taken that step to be a part of that group. I want to encourage you to do that. Make a note on the back of your communication card that I mentioned earlier. Hey, I'd like to do that. I'd like to plug in somewhere. On September 12th, coming up in a few weeks, we're going to have what we call a life group fair, where we put our life groups out in front, where you can visit with the different people. They'll be available. They will be available that day for you to visit with and talk to. Targeting a date of September 19th to really kick off some of those new groups. We're going to have 5 brand new groups kicking off 1st of September. That's exciting. And we want to start more. So if that's you, if that's what you needed to hear today, that's the first message. Get involved. Get plugged in. Get connected. Be a part of that small group where ministry actually takes place. If you have your Bible, turn with me over to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Second Corinthians chapter 9, starting with verse 6, reading through verse 8. These are the words of Paul. It says, "Now this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must do just as he has purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that always having all sufficiency in everything, you may have an abundance for every good deed." Most of you who have been around the Heights for very long know that about 2 months ago, the elders brought before the church the opportunity to purchase this building. Ever since we've been in this building, we've leased this building, and we pay an exorbitant lease on this building monthly. And with us purchasing this building and having the ability with that purchase to improve it, to enlarge it. If you have children and you've been back to our children's area, you know that they're busting at the seams back there. We need to be able to do what we need to do with this building, to do ministry. And so the church brought, or the elders brought before the church body the opportunity for this to happen. And so all we have to do is to raise about $300,000 by the end of October. That's it. If you say that real fast, okay, it makes it sound easier. But here's the thing about that I want to communicate to you, because we don't get a chance to talk about stuff, you know, about who we are here at the Heights very often, is that we've been given a God-sized opportunity to trust Him in this process. You know, as of last Sunday, we had raised $10,000 toward the $300,000. You go, that's not very much, Randy. No, not the big picture of things. And seeing if I passed around a sheet of paper and said, okay, what can you give today? Well, go ahead, write it down. And we added everybody's up, it probably wouldn't be $300,000. And we could even add in what First Service wrote on the same piece of paper that I passed around. And it probably still wouldn't add up to $300,000 when you think about what you can be a part of in doing that. But see, the little phrase that we probably read over in your thinking just a while ago that I read out loud, it said, God is able. You know, when we seek God, when we follow after that purpose He puts in our heart to be a part of something He's doing, then He is able to accomplish it. So we don't have to depend on Randy, thank goodness. See, I can't write a check for $300,000. You may be thinking, I'm not sure I can write a check for a dollar. But see, that's why that passage about being a cheerful giver, it's so important, because it says, do what is purposed in your heart, what God lays upon you to do, to be a part of that. Not to accomplish what I can do, because I can't do it, and you can't do it. But what God leads all of us to do as a body, and we're going to talk about the body here in a little while, then it can be accomplished because God is able. You know, and you may have to be creative about that. You know, when God, in the form of Jesus Christ, walked on earth, He came up to a gathering of people that were hungry. And His disciples said, we don't have enough food here. We can't feed these people. Got 5 loaves and 2 fishes. This isn't going to work. It's kind of like saying you got $10,000 and you need $300,000. But see, when Christ blessed it, God became able. And the people were fed. You know, as a staff member here, as an elder in this body of believers we call the Heights Fellowship, you know, I feel very confident as we take this step, even though it's scary. But we felt very confident about what God's doing in us, because He wants to affect the kingdom of God here in Lubbock, Texas, through the Heights Fellowship, through this body of believers. He wants to make a difference through us. And He put upon our heart to take this step to do this. And so be creative in how you participate. You know, you may have been willed that piece of land at the top of the mountain in Colorado, you know, that you just really want to go to someday, and you're going to retire there. You know, God may whisper in your ear, you know, you can sell that land and give the money to the building fund. Or you could have a vintage baseball card collection, which I do, and my daughter made reference to, Dad, you're really not going to sell that, are you? I don't know. You may make apple pies and sell them. You may have a garage sale. Don't ask me to be a part of it, but that may be what God lays on your heart. See, I don't know. See, we don't know how God is going to be able in our lives to accomplish what He wants to do. See, that's what the exciting part about that is we don't know. That's where faith comes in. It's exciting to walk that path of the unknown, knowing that God is going to do something that only He can do. That's exciting stuff. We don't know how He's going to accomplish that, but we feel confident we're headed in the right path to do that. You know, and that passage from 2 Corinthians reminds us of that. Many of you this week got in the mail this little packet, maybe yesterday. They went out Thursday. If you're a member or a regular attender, you probably received this. And if you didn't, we can get you copies of it. But anyway, it's just a little help. This brochure says, our time is now. And it just kind of explains the process of where we're headed with this. And I'm not going to go into a lot of detail, but there's some of those out on the table if you didn't get one. Also, there's a letter from our pastor in there, just sharing his heart about what brought us to this point. And like I said, if you don't have that, you'd like to read that and see what that's about as we proceed through this as a church, I want you to do that. You know, get a hold of that if you didn't get one. That will help you understand where we're going. But that creates the whole idea of doing something that we can't do creates a sense of anxiety in our lives. How many of you are, just this morning, I'm going to specify my question. Since you got up this morning, how many of you have worried today? Show of hands, you got to admit to this. Oh, about half of you. I really expected it to be bigger. But some of you are probably just concerned about things. You probably really weren't worried. That's a word I use a lot. I don't worry, I'm concerned about that. But see, that's something in our life that keeps us many times from taking that next step with God, whatever it is. Turn to Philippians chapter 4. I'm going to read a passage with you. Philippians 4. Verses 6 and 7. You know, there's some things in Scripture that as we read it, we have a hard time processing it, and I'm not sure what that means, I can't get that. You know, Mike's been doing the study on the Word, and that's been great and outstanding, and we're going to, you know, proceed with that next week. But many times we get into the Word, and what does that say to me? How does that affect my life? This is one of the clearest, most understandable passages of Scripture that I know of. It's very black and white. Starting with verse 6. It says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Our first response to any situation, any life situation, you know, we were talking about doing life together a while ago, and talking about the life groups. But so often, our first response to any struggle is, I'm going to worry. Okay? I'm going to be anxious. You know, what can I do about this? How can I fix this? Worry, 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 worry. But unless I misread that passage, it says we should be anxious about zero, nothing, nada. That anxious word that's translated worry. We should worry about nothing. But it says instead, we should pray about what? Everything. Everything. But see, so often our first response is to worry. Well, let me worry about this. I'll feel better if I worry. Well, what I know about worriers is that when you worry, you even begin worrying about worrying. It just piles on. In fact, some of you even relish in that, well, I'm a worrier. You know, that makes me sensitive to all this stuff going on in my life, so I'm going to worry about it. Well, God says in His Word very clearly, be anxious about nothing, but in everything, with prayer and thanksgiving, make your requests made known to God. In the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension or understanding, will guard your hearts and minds. Now, how many of you would like to live a life of peace? Ongoing, consistent peace, because you know that God wants you to take it to Him, not you try to figure it out. You know, you may have been thinking, some of you may have been thinking a while ago as we're talking about being in a life group. Well, you know, I've been thinking about that. I'm a little anxious. I'm a little worried that, you know, I've got to meet new people. So what have you done? Nothing. Take that to God. You may have been thinking while I was talking about the giving and being a part of participating in us getting this building. Well, I can't do that. I mean, I'd love to. You begin worrying about how you're going to participate. No. Quit worrying. Don't be anxious. Pray about it. Thank God for what you do have. Let Him give you that peace to do whatever. If it's a dollar, it's a dollar. If you want to write me out a check today for $100,000, I'll put it in that fund before lunch. But see, don't worry about it. Don't be anxious. Take it to God in prayer. You know, you may have seen the movie a while ago and said, gosh, that's a need in this world I can be a part of. First time I've ever heard about that. Take it to God. Pray about it. See what He wants to do. Through you. See? What He wants to do through you. Remember, God is able. Randy's not able. God's able. Make prayer your first response. Make prayer the EMT in your life. Not worry. That person that first gets to you to take care, let that be God through prayer. Listen to Him. You know, when Paul said in Thessalonians, pray without ceasing, you know what I think he meant? Pray without ceasing. Constantly, throughout any given day, you're listening. See, that's how you do that. That's how you accomplish praying without ceasing. You know, because when I first read that verse, I'm going, what? How can you do that? I've got to eat. I've got to sleep. I've got to work. I've got to deal with people. How do I pray without ceasing? That's how you do it. You listen to God. You don't do all the talking when you pray. Listen to Him. And you can do that even when you're sleeping. You ever been woken up by God telling you something? That's prayer. Make prayer a real part of your life. And these other things that come as opportunities to you, God, if that's what you want me to do, I can do it. You know, if you want me to be involved in a ministry in Morocco, I can do it. If you want me to go to India and be a part of a ministry in India, I can do it. If you want me to give $1 to the building fund, I can do it. Whatever it is, see, God's going to give you that peace that surpasses all understanding to be a part of what He wants you to do. And we all want peace. Three sermons down, one to go. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. As I read this passage, this one's a little longer, so I want you to hang with me. But as you listen or follow along in your Bible, I want you to think about you, okay, and how you fit into this passage. Because this passage isn't just speaking. It's not just a story to read. It's not just something out there. It's talking to each one of us very personally. So as you listen to it, as you follow along, I want you to hear it that way and let God speak to you what this looks like in your life. Beginning with verse 12. It says, "For even as the body is one and yet has many members, and all the members of the body, though they are many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot says, 'Because I am not a hand, I am not a part of the body,' it is not for this reason any the less a part of the body. And if the ear says, 'Because I am not an eye, I am not a part of the body,' it is not for this reason any the less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole were a hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But now God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body, just as He desired. If they were all one member, where would the body be? But now there are many members, but one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Or again, the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, it is much truer that the members of the body, which seem to be weaker, are necessary. And those members of the body which we deem less honorable, on these we bestow more abundant honor. And our less presentable members become much more presentable. Whereas our more presentable members have no need of it, but God has so composed the body, giving more abundant honor to that member which lacked, so that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are Christ's body and individually members of it. 4 simple little things that I got out of that passage. First one, every part is important. Which as a part of this body that we call the Heights Fellowship, you're important. No matter what you think, did you hear that? No matter what you think of your role in the body, you're important. How many of you got a cup of coffee, donut, or orange juice this morning before you came in? What if those ladies and gentlemen would not have shown up this morning and done their part? Some of you would have been really cranky because that was your first cup of coffee, maybe. And so you've come to expect your donut. And so that part, if not doing their part, would have been noticed, even though we don't think about it. You know, people who come together here on Thursday night and pray, most of us don't even know who those people are. But how important their part of the body is. You know, we see Mike up here each week. We see Jim up here. We see the band. You know, we see the guys doing that. They're visual. We see them. We know kind of what they do. But there's so much else to the body that's going on all the time. That passage says every part's important. And it also says you're important because you're one of the parts. No matter what your part is, it's important to the body. See, I think that's why God, through the Holy Spirit, gave Paul this idea of the body that he mentions throughout his letters. It's because it's a perfect picture of who we are as the church universal and also the church very specific here at the Heights Fellowship. See, we all have a part, and it's all important to what goes on here. And that's why going back to the giving, if you only give a dollar, that's still important. That's still a part. You know, if you think, well, I can't be an active part of a life group, you know, I don't have anything to offer. Yes, you do. In a relationship with Christ, you have exactly that. You have experience in Christ working in your life. And someone else may need to hear that. They may need to know what God has shown you. You know, you may have talents. You may have gifts that God has given you that make the body healthy and alive. And you need to be a part of that. Don't, you know, I used the example in first service, and some of you know I used to be a high school coach, and you know, those guys who, you know, always were there, put me in, coach, I want to play, you know, come on, I want to play, I want to be a part, I want what's going on. You know, I love those guys. Even if they weren't very good, I love them. I've tried to find a way for them to participate, to be a part. Now, on the other hand, that guy that sat back on the bench and said, you know, I really look good in my uniform, but I don't care if I ever get in the game. But I look good. I'm going to look good in the team picture. I love riding on the bus in my uniform. But I'm not too sure about getting in the game. I don't care if that happens or not. We don't want to be that person. We want to be that person who takes what God's gifted us and talented us with and be a part of the body. Whether you're the little finger, whether you're the eye, the ear, the hand, the foot, the molecule, whatever that's part of the body, they all make it function the way God intended it to function. We can't depend on just a few parts. You know, I can have the best eyes and the best ears in the world, but if my legs don't work, I don't get very much done. I don't get anywhere. If my hands don't work, I can't accomplish the task. I maybe have lots of knowledge, lots of understanding. I get it, but I can't accomplish it. It takes all parts. We need dreamers. We need planners. We need administrators. We need leaders. We need those that we never see that get the job done. All of that is part of the body. And you are a part of the body. You know, whether God spoke to you about life groups today, about giving, about your prayer life, or about your part in the body, I don't know. But one thing I want to challenge you with before we leave today is that whatever God spoke into your life today from His Word, be obedient to that. Act upon that. Even if it sounds crazy, even if it doesn't make sense, hear what He said to you. Apply that. Be a part of what God's doing in and around your life. Be active with that. Let me pray and we'll be done. God, thank you today for your word. You promise us in your word that it will never go void, that it won't be worthless. It's always profitable. As we looked at a couple weeks ago in 2 Timothy. So God, let your word today just saturate into our lives. And let us take away from whatever message that you spoke to us through today and make it real in our lives. God, you're doing great things around us. You want to continue to do great things around us. And God, we want to be a part of that. Not because we're good or we're smart or we're rich or any of those earthly kind of descriptions, but because you're able. God, do something in our lives that only you could do. And just let us be a part of it. And it's your name we pray. Amen.